Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, it has become very popular in our world to seek out family origins in an effort to answer the question, who am I and where did I and my family come from? Now, the immediate answer to those questions isn't usually very difficult to answer. Most of us were able to talk to our parents and grandparents and perhaps even our great-grandparents. They told us about their childhoods and where and how they grew up. They might even have told us about the old country. We probably assume, based upon our names and our ethnic heritage, that we know where our families came from. If curious, you can look into your family tree in places like Ancestry.com. Recently, it's also become popular to discover your ancestry by means of a DNA test. Simply pay for the kit, test your blood, and you might find out that you're descended from the Philistines. Probably not. CRI Genetics, Ancestry DNA, 23andMe all claim to be able to do that very thing scientifically by means of their test. Generally speaking, I know where I came from, and I know where you came from too. We all came from the first man and the woman, Adam and Eve. After that, we came from Noah, and from one of his three sons, Shem, Ham, or Japheth. After the worldwide flood, humanity started over, and the family tree can be traced all the way back to one of those three sons. In the 10th chapter of Genesis, the Spirit of God reveals to us through Moses how the sons of Noah expanded and came to be the nations of the world. Our own nations have arisen from them. Are you a Shemite, a Hamite, or a Japhethite? Maybe you're thinking, I don't really care. I don't care who my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was, where he lived, and what he did. Good, I can't tell you that. This isn't a genealogy workshop, this is a worship service. Instead, we'll take a look at what God's Word says here in the 10th chapter of Genesis and be reminded why it all matters. And since this portion of God's Word is 32 verses long, take a seat, try not to fall asleep, or stand in judgment of the pastor as he tries to read some of these names. May God the Holy Spirit bless our study of these words, because they are the very words of God and worthy of our time. Amen. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Repath, and Togarmah. The sons of Yavan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to their language, according to their families, into their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Savta, Rama, and Sabteca. And the sons of Rama were Seba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth-air, Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that is the principal city. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtuhim, Pathrusim, and Kasluhim, from whom came the Philistines and Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Afterward, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, then as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboiim, as far as Lasha. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. And children were also born to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gater, and Mesh. Arphaxad begot Salach, and Salach, Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Yoktan. Yoktan begot Almodad, Shalef, Chazer Mavet, Jerach, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Yoktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go toward Sepharah, the mountain of the east. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. In the name of Jesus the Christ, through whom we are children of God, and through whom we are heirs of the Father's house, dear fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. When I was a child, like many boys, I was less than tidy when it came to my bedroom. To compound matters, I shared a bedroom with my brother, Seth. I'd love to tell you that our room was always neat and tidy, but that would be a complete lie. So naturally, from time to time, my parents, specifically my mother, would tell us it was time to clean the room. It always seemed like an impossible task, and we would wonder, where do I start? I wonder the same thing when I read through the 10th chapter of Genesis. Where do I start? When we start out, we may hear some somewhat familiar names, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We might even be slightly familiar with other names, Nimrod, Canaan. But the rest of the names are completely unfamiliar and even horrible to pronounce. Where do we start unwrapping the genealogy of Noah and his sons without putting you to sleep? Well, after repeating the names of Noah's three sons, the Spirit of God begins with the youngest, Japheth. And it would be of no consequence to tell the life story of people who didn't play a role in the promised Savior. And so we're simply told the name of seven sons and seven grandsons of the youngest son of Noah. And we're told, generally speaking, that Japheth and his sons settled north of the Mediterranean Sea. They developed according to their countries, languages, family divisions, and expanded from there. They became the Greeks, the Medes, those in Asia Minor, along the coast, and among the islands in the Mediterranean. They lived in places that we today call Britain, Scotland, Germany, Spain, Turkey, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia in the former Soviet Union, Cyprus and Crete and other islands. See, that wasn't all that bad, was it? Let's unwrap a little bit more. Ham. The Spirit of God reveals the names of 30 descendants of Ham, the middle son, including his four sons, Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan, as well as numerous grandsons, great-grandsons, and even nations that descended from Noah's middle son. Again, generally speaking, Ham and his sons settled south of the Mediterranean Sea on the coast of North Africa. They also developed according to country, language, and family, and expanded from there. They lived in places that we today call, are you ready? Tunisia, Ethiopia, Libya, Egypt, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and the Sudan. The Spirit of God speaks in particular about one of Ham's descendants, a fellow by the name of Nimrod. That's a fun name. Nimrod is called a mighty hunter, but not because he hunted animals. He hunted men, as it turns out. He developed a reputation as he captured one region after the other. He was the one who developed what would become Babylon and Assyria, and he even built that city you heard, Nineveh. Mizraim, it's actually the name for Egypt, was the second son of Ham, and his relatives became the nation of Egypt and those in the north coast of Africa. The Philistines, remember Goliath, also came from that family. And finally, Canaan. That sounds familiar, right? That's because when the children of Israel entered the Promised Land, they found the Canaanites, distant relatives of Ham, who were divided into other groups. You heard all the names: Jebusite, Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Hittite, and others. Okay, so that was a little more involved, right? Okay, there's only a little bit left. Let's unwrap the last bit. Shem. The Spirit of God reveals the name of 5 sons, 6 grandsons, 2 great-grandsons, and 13 great-great-grandsons that descended from Noah's firstborn son, Shem. Generally speaking, Shem and his sons settled south and east of Mount Ararat. That's where the ark came to rest after the flood. They too developed according to country, language, family, and also expanded from there. They lived in places that we today call Turkey, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, and Ethiopia. We're also told about one of his sons, or grandsons, called Arphaxad. That's a whopper. And his son, Eber. They're mentioned because the distant relative of Eber you know by the name of Abraham. That's right. The Jews were descended from the eldest son, Shem. Are you sleepy yet? Wake up. We're done with the genealogy. In summary, think of it like this. If your family tree originates in Asia, you're probably related to Shem. If your family tree begins in Africa, you may be related to Ham. And like most of us, if your family tree is from Europe, you're related to the youngest, Japheth. So what's the point of this tedious little exercise? First of all, the accuracy of God's word. Let's remember that this is God's word, as difficult as it is for us to understand here in the West today. It's true and accurate in every detail. Consider that Mormonism's holy book, the Book of Mormon, presents events in history that are not even supported by history at all. The work of archaeologists have confirmed that the Bible's account here is accurate in every point. It just reminds us that time spent studying God's word is never a waste of time. But secondly, and most importantly, one's family tree and its branches is an interesting study, oddly comforting, but in the end, of no lasting consequence. It might be interesting fodder for a family reunion, but it guarantees us nothing in this life or in the life to come. We may be proud of our family tree. We might even be able to figure out whether we're descended from Shem, Ham, or Japheth, but nobody obtains a get into heaven free because you are related card from it. We may be descended from different people, from different regions, with different languages, but no matter what your ethnic background is or skin tone, we are all, without exception, descended from one blood, from one man. In speaking to the people of Athens, the Apostle Paul likely was speaking to distant relatives of Japheth, and he said, "He, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Since we are all, without exception, descended from Adam, it's also true that we and our families are born like fallen Adam, sinful and corrupt. We're proud of ourselves and often hostile to God, as it is written. The carnal, that is, natural mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But it's simply we are hardwired since the fall into sin to go our own way, to be self-centered, not God-centered, whether you're descended from Shem, Ham, or Japheth. From day to day, we hesitate even to recognize or bear witness to our weakness and dependence upon our Creator. Who you are related to by birth and blood means nothing if in the end you die in your sins without a peaceful relationship with your Creator. And it's possible and even likely that much of the human race will. Because, as it is written, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is an urgent matter. Death will come to us as it has to every generation before us and every generation that follows us. Unless our Creator steps in and stops this circus, it will continue as it has since the days of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, when they followed their father off of the ark. But there is hope. There's hope because if you can hear me, or if you can read this, then you are still alive, and you are in your time of grace. And you know that when everything went terribly wrong in the very beginning, God first promised to make things right again. And when the time was right, he did just that. By sending his own son into the human race, he was born of a distant relative of Shem, named Mary, the unique God-man, fully God and fully man at the same time. And God was in Christ working to reconcile humankind to himself. Not by ignoring sin, but by making atonement for it. This isn't revisionist history. This is God's own truth. Listen. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But you know this already. I know you do. I'm preaching to the choir. But I want you to consider today that out of the mass of humanity since Shem, Ham, and Japheth, God has called you to faith in his Son. He has separated you from sin and dedicated you to his service in his kingdom. Let's appreciate what God has done for us and get to work being spokespeople for Christ. Ambassadors of the message of reconciliation. It is our privilege to tell people of this region and in this world that God has paid the entire debt of sin, and that those who trust in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as the atoning sacrifice for sin have peace with God. That's why it's written for our comfort and joy. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God has intervened in your life by means of word and sacrament. We were by birth and nature headed down the wide road to destruction, but he's turned us around. And we're now on the narrow path that leads to life. But when we look around, the traffic seems pretty light. I'm a mixture of two families. Schaller, Grahams. I can trace my family tree back generations and see my family's characteristics in myself, in my siblings, in my cousins. Maybe you can do the same thing in your family. But we don't place our hopes for the future in our blood or in our family tree. We may or may not be able to trace our family tree back to one of three men. We place our hopes for the future in the blood of Jesus Christ. We place our future in the hands of him who was also God incarnate, who died to redeem us from sin, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in him, we are the recipients of the grace of God. Blessed are the sons of God. They are bought with Christ's own blood. They are ransomed from the grave. Life eternal they shall have. They are justified by grace. They enjoy the Savior's peace. All their sins are washed away. They shall stand in God's great day. They are lights upon the earth, children of a heavenly birth, one with God, with Jesus one. Glory is in them begun, with them numbered may we be, here and in eternity. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.